Okay, Garda Granny Doherty is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes with the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána. So stay tuned for that. Back to the roads. Am I missing something? Wasn't the congestion problems for years now in Letterkenny, or is it just now since work started on cycle lanes? Cycle lanes didn't get us to this mess we're in now, but they will help us towards getting us out. If you stop all the works today, you'll be stuck in traffic tomorrow morning. I'm not speaking personally here, but I'm sort of sampling what people's views are. The work seems to have aggravated the problem significantly, whereby people's commute times has increased really quite significantly. And there's a bit of unpredictable, there's an unpredictable nature to how long you might be sitting in traffic now. So you're quite right, yes. But what people are saying is can we first take measures to ease the congestion and then build the cycle lanes? So it's just people are asking for what you're asking, but just asking for it in a different order. A caller says, I go out the four lanes every day to get to work. I've never seen anyone use the four-lane cycle lane. Has a survey been done to check how many people actually use the cycle lanes? Well, anecdotally, I think you've answered that question yourself. No councillor can excuse starting roadworks before Christmas. Everything is to suit the construction team and not the citizens. Who's going to cycle around Letterkenny in the constant rain? There's no dropped pavements for people in wheelchairs in Letterkenny. How about fixing that first? Another, how can an active travel plan include the narrowing of existing roads? Everyone with a brain knows that the provision of countless cycle lanes isn't going to make a jot or an iota of difference to Letterkenny traffic chaos. The narrowing the roads is to slow traffic down. It is a tactic that's employed. It's not an accident. It's part of the plan. After travelling from Remelton Road to Old Dunn's, didn't see one cyclist in town. Another, the removal of right turn lanes now being implemented up past the hospital and also being proposed, or the proposed redevelopment of the circular road, is ludicrous and is already causing serious obstruction of traffic movement. But apparently, they're now saying maybe those right turning lanes will be retained or included. And I put it to Councillor Brogan yesterday. How do you do that, right? What gives? Does the road narrow further? Do you not put in the cycle lanes and the footpaths that you'd planned? It really is quite bizarre to get through the planning stage, public consultation, to actually get on the ground and to be chipping away footpaths and then to say, maybe we should retain right lanes. That's a front page story in my view, but anyway. So Councillor McMonagall believes the new cycle lanes will encourage Letterkenny locals to jump on our bikes. I can't wait to see, just because you believe that this will be a facility that others might use, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to use it yourself. And I do understand that. But that means no man could ever make a decision for a woman, or no woman could ever make a decision for a man. You know, like, you don't have to be a cyclist to sort of see a vision of people getting around the place in a different way. I understand the point you're trying to make, but I just don't want to go down the personal route. You know, let's play the issue. If after you've travelled is so important, they've amended it to avoid a moving lane at Mount Errigal, so the very important active travel won't link up together between the Polestar and Remelton Road, so not very important after all, just to fit it in wherever you can spend money. Greg just said we learn as we go, along his words, yet isn't certain on whether there'll be a holding lane for traffic turning into both St Connell's and Bernard McGlinchey Town Park, not to mention the housing estate or Little Angels or Donegal Hospice. Ludicrous. Another, are the people that are making the decisions about these roads doing so A, sitting behind a desk, or B, going on to the site? That's all we hear. Roadworks, roadworks, roadworks. Another, I have a serious concern of the design team of the new cycle lanes, etc., being built in Letterkenny, is to the detriment of emergency vehicles movement, which has become evident out past Port Bridge, and cycle lanes are so badly designed, so they're not used. It might be worth, from the ambulance service, Caroline, getting an update just in relation to those works on the four lanes, dropping the curve to allow cars to go onto the footpath, which, again, this is another planning issue that we're retrospectively changing, which is really quite remarkable, but also to get an idea of what level of consultation or even plan there is in place to allow access to Letterkenny for the works that are ongoing just down here below us. On the issue of prisons, morning Greg, it's unbelievable to hear about overcrowding in the prisons, and yet they find a prison cell for Enoch Burke and raid his bank account. He didn't murder anyone. He refused to call a child they, and refuses to give up his job. Thank you. I know a guy who went to prison for a very serious crime. He got 10 years, but he was out in 4. The prison sentencing is failing victims. Even with the best of behaviour and rehabilitation, 6 years off a sentence is too much. Prison sentences are now irrelevant. We have constant reoffenders because they fear nothing about jail. Back to the roads again, sorry. Morning, Greg. Traffic backed out past Arena 7 at 10 a.m. in the morning. Imagine what it would be like at 5 p.m. Genius decision to do the roadworks. Arena 7's not terribly far out, but I take your point. 12 minutes this morning from the entrance to the First Estate at Mountaintop to get onto the main road round about 300 yards. That's 12 minutes before you can even get in the jam. A car had broken down at the bottom of Ashlawn at the lights, by the way, just to answer that query from a listener earlier. Regarding bullying, it's been going on forever. It's just being highlighted now due to the connectivity of social media. Yes, and, you know, maybe that's the advantage in this awful situation, that we know it's going on or reminded it's going on and do what we can to try and tackle such behaviour. Are a lot of schools and public buildings not raising the DCB issue in case it opens a can of worms for their insurance and funding? Health and safety is an issue too. I'm not sure, actually. Maybe someone could tip us off in relation to that. You know, remember at the beginning of this when people in houses sort of kept their shtum because they knew it would instantly devalue their houses? Is that the same but for different reasons in relation to schools and public buildings at the moment? I absolutely support full remediation for DCB families, but why can they not reuse more things like furniture and appliances? I understand windows, doors, etc. might not fit or need upgrading, but I think if you're worried about your budget, there are definitely things that should be reused. Small things maybe in the grand scheme, but not everything needs to be brand new. I'm not sure what the breakdown percentage of stuff being reused is. I know there are some defective concrete block Facebook pages where things are being sold, but they're not all from defective concrete blocked houses either. They kind of have become for sale pages or wanted pages in and of their own rights. So I don't know how many people are reusing furniture or not. A lot of that comes straight out of their bank account, by the way. That is being paid for by themselves. But I suppose you're saying reuse and use some of that money to bridge the gap. But there's not one size fits all. Everybody's situation is different. So I don't think we can, in that space, sort of make a sweeping remark.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
20 past 10 on this Tuesday, the 11th of November. It's time for this week's edition of Community Garda Information, and we're joined in studio by Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Good morning, Grainne.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us, and let's get straight into the appeals. And we'll start with a burglary in Donegal Town.
Yes, this burglary occurred at a house at Upper Main Street, Donegal Town, between 8 p.m. on Monday the 3rd of November and 8 p.m. the following day, Tuesday the 4th of November. The back door of this house was smashed in and an internal door was smashed also. So the house had been entered, it was ransacked, but nothing was stolen from within. So repeating to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity in that area of Upper Main Street, Donegal Town, between those times, to make contact with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. And if anyone can assist with relevant information, as always, this goes for all of our appeals today. The Garda confidential line is always an option on 1800-666-111.
Yeah, and for those who might have been travelling through Upper Main Street, I think that's up around St Patrick's Church, the old fire station, etc. Right, criminal damage this time in Killigordon.
Yes, so we're appealing for information in relation to this incident. It happened this morning, actually a very recent incident, November 11th, in the early hours between 5:30 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the area of Inclareen, Killigordon. So during that time, a front window of a house was smashed. So we're appealing to anybody who might have witnessed this incident to contact us. If anybody observed a man on foot in the area, please contact us also. Any motorists travelling in that general area with a dash cam between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m, that would be of great benefit to us if they could contact us and make that footage available. So Gardaí and Ballyshannon can be contacted in relation to this incident on 071-985-8530.
And that was Killigordon this morning, so it should be fresh in people's minds. Criminal damage in Lifford now.
Yes, another criminal damage incident happened in the area of Crohan Heights on Wednesday the 5th of November in and around 10 p.m. So at that time, the front window of a house and the front door glass was smashed in the same house. So we're appealing to anyone who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 9:30pm and 10:30pm on that date to make that footage available to us. If anybody observed the incident or seen anything out of the way in that area, please contact us also in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Now, there are incidences of criminal damage in Glenealy now.
Yeah, so this is a number of incidents that occurred all within the same area of Glendara Court in Glenealy on Friday the 7th of November, so between 10pm and 10:30pm. So a quad was being driven, I believe, up and down the road in that area numerous times, and eggs were thrown at a number of houses there, and a smoke bomb style type of firework was also ignited in that area by whoever was on this quad. So we're appealing to anybody who might have seen this quad in the area to make contact with us. And again, crucial, if anybody travelled with a dash cam in that area between 9pm and 11pm, we're asking them to make that footage available to us. So Gardaí and Buncrana can be contacted in connection with this incident on 9320540.
Yeah, it's one of those incidents you get a sense that somebody knows what's what, and it's a case of passing on that information. Yeah. It's very distressing behaviour if you're on the receiving end of that, very dangerous as well. We'll go to Ballybuffet next.
Yes, this is actually a very concerning incident. So this incident happened in the area of Blue Cedars, Ballybuffet, on Saturday the 8th of November, so in around 7:15pm, so quite early in the evening, so we're hopeful somebody might have some information in relation to this criminal damage incident. Two youths were reported to have approached a house in the Blue Cedars estate, and they went on to place an ignited firework into the letterbox of the house. So the firework exploded, it caused damage to the letterbox, and thankfully that's the only damage that was caused, because that could have escalated, it could have had a horrendous outcome altogether. So we're urging anybody who may have travelled within Blue Cedars on that date with a dash cam between 7 and 7:30pm to contact Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. If anybody's seen these two youths on foot and can offer a description of them or a direction of travel, contact us also. The Garda Confidential Line again, 1800 666 111 can be used if anybody has any information.
I'm not exaggerating, but I could see a situation, I'm not sure what it's like in your house, but certainly if Hudson's heard the door box going or the letterbox going, running to the
straight
door.
Straight to light. The door, yeah. And that's the case in many houses. Toddlers would make their way to the door, or even an pet. A pet would make
exactly.
their way to the door.
It's absolutely horrific. And those people need to be spoken to understand the potential consequences of their actions.
And just as well as that, if parents maybe as well might, not, we're not placing any blame on the parents, you know, the parents weren't there and they didn't do this, but just speak to your youth, speak to them about these types of incidents and the outcome. Had that firework fallen through the letterbox, ignited, the house would have been, you know, could have went up in flames, and just the seriousness of their actions. If parents could take their youths to one side and speak to them about this type of behaviour.
Yeah, a couple of thefts, first in Kilmacrennan.
Yes, this incident happened in the area of Letcher, Kilmacrennan, on Wednesday the 5th of November, between 11am and 2pm, so work was being conducted along the roadside on fibre optic cables. And at some point over the course of those hours, a three-section steel ladder was stolen from along the roadside where the work was going on. So we're asking anybody who may have relevant information in relation to this theft, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Milford on 915-3060.
And the next appeal, on the face of it, makes no sense at all, but go on.
No, and this has been mentioned, I think, on the show during the week. All right, so this is an incident of theft again of a defibrillator from a premises at the Diamond in Donegal Town. So this happened in the early hours of Sunday the 26th of October in around 1:50am. So CCTV has been viewed and a male can be seen removing it from its case, and he continued on foot out the Ballybuffet Road out of Donegal Town. We're appealing firstly to this male to return this vital piece of life-saving equipment before a life is lost, you know, because of its absence. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing, and we're asking them first and foremost to please come in and return that item. We're appealing to motorists who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam between 1:30am and 2:30am to please make that footage available to us. And if anybody has any relevant information, we're asking them to contact Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530 or the Garda Confidential Line again.
You know, obviously this is a serious crime. You'd love the person to walk in to a Garda station holding it and face the law, right? But the equipment itself, often these are funded through generous individuals because they've lost someone or, you know, local fundraising. At the very, very, very least, let someone know where it is.
Of course, a beggar's belief. I mean, you know, as you say, the amount of fundraising that would have been done in order
absolutely
to install
crazy
this item, you know, and as I said, it's never too late to do the right thing and even come into the station, return it. If it's a thing that it was a a moment of madness. Yeah. You know, I mean, these things can be taken into account, and you would be given credit for the fact that you did return the item also. So.
Yeah, okay. Do the right thing. Now, a road traffic collision in Inishowen.
Yes, this is actually a number of weeks ago. So this is a collision that occurred at Barrackhill in Buncrana on Wednesday the 15th of October, shortly before midnight. So a set of temporary traffic lights were struck by a vehicle and damaged at that time. Gardaí were alerted at the time, but the vehicle was gone upon their arrival. So we're asking anybody who might have observed this incident, if you did observe it, you're going to remember it. So please give us a ring in Buncrana on 932 0540, and if anybody was in that area around the time of the dash cam, again, please make that footage available to us.
Right, now, e-scooters have been in the news the last couple of days. They always seem to be in the news, in fact. So it's quite timely to be talking about what Donegal Gardaí have been up to.
Yes, so our roads policing units in Letterkenny and Buncrana have conducted a number of days of action this week to raise awareness among users of e-scooters about the regulations governing their use. So they were in Letterkenny, this day of action was in Letterkenny on Saturday and yesterday, Monday, and they were in Buncrana on Sunday. So a number of e-scooters were tested on the portable dynamometer, and a number of fixed charge penalty notices were issued. Four e-scooters that were observed being used on footpaths were seized, and one was seized for exceeding the speed limit. So there are very specific laws in place regarding the use of electric scooters and e-bikes. You must be 16 or older. You must obey a speed limit of 20 kilometres per hour. Drive on the left. E-scooters are allowed in cycle or bus lanes and on local, regional or national roads. You have to have lights, a bell or audible warning device, and you have to have reflectors and brakes. And it must be kept in a roadworthy condition at all times. You have to obey signals given by Gardaí or school wardens and follow the same rules of the road that apply to cyclists, including traffic lights, road signs and all types of pedestrian crossings. So you can't use your mobile phone while you're using an e-scooter. You can't use footpaths, pedestrianised areas or motorways. I don't think the motorways is going to be an issue right here, but the footpaths is a big issue.
Problem, yeah.
So we're urging people not to be using the footpaths on their e-scooters. You can't carry goods or passengers. You can't have a seat on your e-scooter. If you break the road rules or if you use an e-scooter dangerously, you can be fined. So the fixed charge fine for most offences in relation to e-scooters is €50 fine. You must not ride an e-scooter under the influence of alcohol or drugs. That should go without saying. This can result in a court appearance and a fine of up to €2,000.
Right, so just to be clear, if people think, oh, it's all right to head from one house to another after a party or something, to be very clear, that's a very serious offence.
That's even more, yeah, because the fines on the spot are a €50 fine. Yeah. So if you're detected using an e-scooter in a public place while under the influence of alcohol or drugs, you may find yourself in court, and the fine is a hefty fine of up to €2,000. Mm. Yeah.
So a lot of texts come in as it relates to what safety gear or high-vis must be used by law. Again, it's in the same space as bikes, isn't it? But what is the actual laws?
It's the same really as pedestrians too, yeah. And although the use of, say, a high-vis, you know, all the same as pedestrians, like personal protection, it's not compulsory, but it is very strongly recommended. We would ask people, if they want to find out more about the regulations surrounding the use of e-scooters, they can see our Facebook page. It'll be posted there today. The Garda.ie website or the RSA, the Road Safety Authority, they have a wealth of information in there in relation to all sorts of road safety, you know, cyclists, pedestrians, e-scooters, the whole lot. So visit RSA.ie.
And just to recap there, by the way, in case people think there isn't enforcement, because people are frustrated. I've seen one e-scooter on the road. The rest are on footpaths and what have you. So a number of e-scooters were tested on a portable dynamometer, which is kind of like a carry-around treadmill, really, but it can test the speed that the scooter is capable of. Fixed charge penalty notice issued. Four e-scooters being used on footpaths were seized, and one was seized for exceeding the speed limit. So you could lose your scooter. And just one other thing I want to mention about scooters too, because there was a report in the papers today about some places selling scooters that can exceed the legal speed limit. But I was contacted by a couple of reputable scooter providers in Letterkenny, and they only sell the ones that conform with the law, by the way, just to be clear, because they got some contacts, and that's presumed, right? There's a difference as to where you can get these products from one place to the next. All right, so just to let people know, let people around you know, that the Gardaí have been enforcing the scooter laws in parts of Donegal and will continue to do so.
Yeah, and hopefully more of these days of action will take place in the near future.
It's the only way to get the message across, and it's about It's not that, oh, you're beating us with a stick. It's the visibility of it, because it makes you just think twice. Then you change your behaviour, and then it's better for everyone.
Yeah, and look, a day of action's a day of action, but that's not to say that you may be out today or tomorrow on your e-scooter on a footpath and meet a Garda car, and they, you know, just because it isn't a day of action, you're as likely to get a fine or to get your e-scooter seized from you. So,
yeah,
and I think the main problem around Letterkenny in particular is the use of e-scooters on the footpaths.
Mm.
So we're urging people, please don't use the footpaths. And although the use of high-vis gear isn't compulsory, when you do see an e-scooter user on the street, which they're meant to do, you see a lot of them a lot of the time in dark clothing.
It almost seems like the uniform black clothing.
It does seem quite dangerous even to see them on the road, but
vulnerable
that is
looking.
Where they're meant to be. But we would urge them also, please throw it. Hey, Viz, what does it take a second to throw it on before
but
you
also,
leave the house?
Too, I presume, the same as with pedestrians, you know, you can speak to people as well if you see a problem that falls under maybe a different category of law. We all have to share the roads, you know, lorries, tractors, whatever it might be. But there's no doubt the most vulnerable people on our roads, Grania, are pedestrians. And we're going to focus a little bit about some road safety advice for them.
Yes. So we're always talking about drivers. We're always pinpointing the drivers and giving advice to drivers. So we want to concentrate today on the topic of pedestrian safety. So you're one of the most vulnerable types of road users when you're out walking. It's important to be aware of your own personal safety and take steps to be as safe as possible at all times. So always be aware of your surroundings. You see people, they're crossing roads. It's mostly young people. They're looking at their mobile phone. Their face is glued to the screen and they get off the side of the footpath and they're away across. Please don't do that. Look around to be aware.
So in relation to that, if you don't mind, I don't want to feel like we're ganging up on young people. And I understand where this is coming from. But the one thing I notice in the morning is either children that have been dropped off and they're on the side of the road waiting for a school bus, or often parents or guardians are parked and strangely they're facing the traffic with their lights on. So you're coming up to a pick-up, drop-off point, and I've got local knowledge, right? But firstly, you've got the parents' car's lights blinding you.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a bus, and then there's kids crossing the road. It's pitch black and they're in black. They're not even wearing jackets. It's hard to get a kid to wear a jacket going to school.
Well, you have to wear a black coat now to school, apparently.
Yeah,
that's the done thing.
There you go. Wouldn't it make an awful lot of sense if they compelled them to wear high-vis going to school? But it's in those instances that someone gets knocked down because you can't see them. It's raining, it's dark, the cars are facing the wrong way, and there's these little shadows darting across the road. And I'd be ultra conscious of that, but not everybody's switched on all of the time.
Yeah, and even, do you know what, and I know even from home, my young man, it has to be a black coat. They seem to be nearly all wearing black coats. So even to stick a high-vis, to roll it up in the bottom of your child's school bag or armband, something just, especially if the bus is dropping them off at the side of a road, it's going to be dark in the evening, something that they have to put on so that the motorists can see them.
I know it's not cool, but neither is dying or ending up with a broken pelvis or on crutches or in a wheelchair. That's not cool either. Right, okay, not focusing just on the young people, because I'm also seeing a lot of big boys and big girls who are heading out for a lovely daytime walk and they're coming back at dusk. So I think you'll probably cover some of that. So your tips directly then to pedestrians more generally, Grania?
Yeah, just use a designated crossing point to cross the road. And just on that point as well, I didn't type in. I have loads of extra points that I didn't type up here, but no, I would just, especially young people as well, I'm always saying it at home, just, you know, even if you're at the light, you've pressed the button and the light goes green for the pedestrian to go, young people especially, please tell your young people, don't automatically step onto the road.
Yeah.
Don't presume that driver coming is
good
watching
point.
The lights. Some drivers, unfortunately, are texting. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're reaching into a handbag. Always wait. Just make sure that those cars have stopped before you step onto that road.
Use the same attitude you might on an orange light.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, be hesitant.
Just
you
wait.
Do notice that people are far more cautious in an orange, so use the same sort of level
same
of caution.
Logic, yeah.
It's different, but maybe just to try and tap into that part of the brain, yeah.
Yeah, never cross the road between traffic. Wear high-vis clothing.
Get behind the microphone, please, Grania.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, wear high-vis clothing. So where a footpath is not present, walk against the flow of traffic. Be prepared to step in off the roadway when necessary, and when crossing the road, be aware that some vehicles, such as trucks and buses, have restricted views. So there are a lot of people out walking. You see it in the evenings on your way home from work. A lot of people are taking to the roads now in the dark evenings. It was a long evening in the house and they're trying to get their steps up. And when you do encounter a pedestrian who has a hi-vis on and you're coming against them in your car, you realise that makes the absolute world of difference.
For sure,
you know, and it does only take a second to put it on, so please do it. Could save your life. We have a number of different sizes of hi-vis vests at Letterkenny Garda Station. I know Buncrana Station have them at the minute as well. I won't speak for the rest of the stations. I'm not sure about them. But please do, you know, if you don't have one, call in and collect one. They're free of charge. There's no problem. And also for e-scooter users and for cyclists, they're free to call and to collect one as well. So the important message is to be safe and be seen.
All right, okay. Now, World Day of Remembrance is November 16th.
Yes, so in Garda Síochána, in conjunction with the Donegal County Council and Donegal Road Safety Working Group, are warmly inviting members of the public to attend a World Day of Remembrance event that will take place at the Mount Errigal Hotel on Letterkenny on Sunday the 16th of November at 1pm. World Remembrance Day provides an opportunity for families, communities and nations around the world to remember all those who have sadly lost their lives or who have been seriously injured on our roads. So on this day, we also honour the bereaved, the survivors, the emergency service personnel who respond to these types of tragedies. Families are very welcome to bring a photograph of their lost loved one or loved ones to be displayed during the ceremony should they wish to do so.
Okay. Bryony, thank you very much indeed. Okay. I do appreciate that. Lots of good advice and important information by way of appeals there. That is Garda Bryony Doherty from Letterkenny Garda Station. Community Garda information will be back with you live just after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Don't forget, there was a lot of information there. If you want to listen back or listen again, it'll be available on our podcast on our website, highlandradio.com, from 12:30 this afternoon. And across our socials and on Garda Síochána socials a little later on whenever I get round to it, Grani, which always with you seems to be late. Because I'm trying to find a good picture of you, see, for the holding screen. I assure you it'll be up nice and early today. Thanks
be
so much.
Yeah,
well, the man is in there in the newsroom you need to talk to. All right then, we'll be back with more on the programme after the break. All right, so in discussing the traffic issues in and around Letterkenny, and I'm sorry if you don't travel through or are not from Letterkenny and this issue might be grating on you, but it's one of significant importance and it affects literally thousands of people every single day and hundreds of businesses as well. And I, as I pointed out to Aileen, wasn't it, from Evolve, you know, we're trying to strike that balance between reflecting business and public attitude out there, but not in any way trying to discourage from anyone going into Letterkenny. Yesterday, for an example, when I finished up work here, I drove down into Letterkenny, wasn't delayed at all, straight onto the main street, got a parking space in and did the business I had to do, got into my car and was out of Letterkenny. And it was... it wasn't a problem. That's the truth. But Jimmy Stafford is president of the Letterkenny Chamber. And notwithstanding what I've just said, Jimmy, a lot of people are very peed off at this stage. You know, some of the commute times we're talking about, people getting into work, getting to school, getting to the hospital. And of course, too, that affects when they're planning a shopping trip as well. What's the Letterkenny Chamber position in relation to this?
Yeah, well, I suppose Greg, good morning. And I would have sent an email yesterday as president of the chamber to our 333 members, just outlining what we've been doing in terms of our lobbying and talking to the council, expressing our frustration around some of the work. And Greg, if I can bring it back, if you don't mind, to the start of the year when we met the engineers and the council who were working on this project, and they brought us through for about 4 or 5 hours the whole project, and we outlined some proposals, I suppose. We put some ideas, and we made a submission subsequently, Greg, on the 19th of March, where we outlined some of the things, our concerns around it. And one of the things was, you know, the modelling. They told us modelling had been done around this. We said, look, can we see the modelling? One of the key ones we brought up and was consistently brought up was the turning lanes going into the likes of St. Collins and other places that, I suppose, if you go back, how many years ago were they put in place? And they were put in place for a reason, is to let traffic be able to pull into those lanes and pull in safely to the other side or to the car parks. And I suppose taking them away, we can see the impact that that's had. So these were all included in our submissions, and also things like night work, all those sort of stuff we put into that proposal, which everybody can see and it's available online. So we were very clear on what our concerns around any works like this are. And I think,
well, on that point, it seems that every concern that was raised by the body which represents businesses in Letterkenny, as far as I can determine, there was not considered, were not taken on board. Some might frame that as ignored.
And I suppose there was lots of other bodies as well, Greg, put in submissions like that. Now we understand that the turning lane into St. Connell's is going to be restored or reinstated, which is one of the things we were shouting at from the start. That's a key junction that people need to get in. So, you know, when we put that in our proposals and then it goes ahead and it's not done, that is frustrating. There's no doubt about that. And it's frustrating for members. So it's the impact. And I suppose, Greg, I would say as well as a chamber, and, you know, we had a board meeting this morning and some of our own board members were late because they were stuck. I mean, when you look at it, and you said it at your intro, like there's 20,000 people a day are coming into Letterkenny. And that's a significant amount of people from all those six different areas that they're coming in from with those roads. It's a small town coming into already a town that's at capacity. And I think, Greg, I'll go back on the point I said about communication. I think, you know, we saw the other day the Ballyrain roadworks and the signing up. But one of the things in the communication that's lost is that those works are going to be in the first 7 weeks from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So that's a positive bit of news in this current time, if you like. But I think the communication needs to be better around certain parts of roadworks that are taking place.
But even regardless of when the roadworks are taking place, they still will involve digging up footpaths and narrowing of roads, a removal of a lane, at least for part of that route you talk of at Ballyrain. We still don't know what the situation is with traffic turning into all the other facilities and businesses that are up and down the road just below me. So it's welcome that the traffic works to at least some extent will happen at night, but that doesn't take away from the fact that footpaths are being dug up, roads are being narrowed, lanes are being removed in other parts of other business members that are members of your chamber. You'll no longer be able to turn right into their businesses. You know, like, so...
Yeah, and... Sorry. Yeah,
That's fine. But what is the chamber's views on these works? Does the chamber, did the board support them continuing to go ahead? Are you going as far as some councillors are and saying, look, suspend them at least until after Christmas? Do we go back to the drawing board? I mean, if we're changing plans mid-construction, I mean, that's problematic.
It is, and I say, as the council, it was voted in by the council. What we would say, a review is probably the word we would use, Greg, a review of works. And, you know, we're heading into the busiest part of the year, as you outlined yesterday and today. And I think, can I just make a point that you made as well, Greg, your point about going into Letterkenny yesterday. And, you know, I'm in that traffic in the morning, I'm in the evening, but there are certain times, and I know people might be shouting at the radio, but, you know, now, for example, between now and, say, 3 o'clock, there's a free-flowing system in place. You are able to get into Letterkenny, you are able to get a car park, but it's those key times in the morning and the evening that are just the bottlenecks that are causing, and I've been in the car this morning at 5 to 8 coming up past Mountaintop where people are banging their steering wheel. I think somebody made a very good point this morning. It's like, we're all for progress but not at the cost of our sanity. I think that's a really, really important one, because we're all for progress and we all want development and we all want investment, but I think there has to be planning. And one of the things we've always said, Greg, and again you've covered it, like there's kind of a chronological order of things here. You look at what we were told, and I know Councillor McMulligan and Mayor Brogan brought it yesterday, the town bus is now delayed for at least another year. Yeah. And when we saw the brochures last year, they were saying very clearly 2025 town bus. That would have had a huge positive impact, because we've seen the impact that has had in Sligo. I've spoken to students myself.
Yeah, but if you look at the road infrastructure in Sligo, it's been designed to accommodate a town bus. The active travel plans, do you see any accommodation for hop on, hop off, or the free movement of a relatively free movement of a town bus post active travel plans? Because I looked at them and I don't really see how a town bus moves freely throughout Letterkenny when cars are stuck in the middle of the road trying to turn right, when there's no necessarily drop curves available for people to get on and off the bus. And if the bus does stop to let people on and off where they need to get on and off, then all the traffic behind them is held up. So, you know, like why was the town bus delayed for a year would be a very interesting question.
Absolutely, Greg, is one we're asking as well. And we saw the plans that you saw on the town bus, which doesn't have stops. And what we've been told around that, and I've seen some town buses around Ireland where you don't have those. They just stop on the side of the road. You hop on, hop off, as you said. And again, modelling has been done as this, we're being told. But going back to what I was saying, Greg, I think there's an order here. Like, you're looking at your bus, your 10T, and then your active travel. And I think that's the key. That's what you kind of design, and that's what we were always talking about in our meetings, that you have a plan there, if you like. And I think that was key. It's timing, it's planning, and it's communication.
Well, what I see in Dublin, right, or other cities, and maybe we could have done it here, is you get as much of the road as possible for a bus stroke, cycle stroke, scooter lane, and then you accommodate people on a footpath. That I would have thought that's the future of a town, where a bus in great parts of it can actually travel freely. Motorists aren't allowed in this part of the road. That's what active travel looks like to me, not taking away much of the road, allocating that for cyclists who won't use it and pedestrians, then having a town bus that stops in the middle of the road to let people off and on it, right? Blocks the whole traffic to let people off and on it. Now, and the fact that people signed off on these plans beggars belief. And if I were a business in Letterkenny, this is what not only the short term, but the medium and long term future holds. I'd be going, what's going on here? What is the actual plan? Where is this? How is this bus going to stay on time, Jimmy, with everything I've just outlined?
And Greg, the reality is, look, you heard it yesterday, we're now told it's at least November 2026. And when you hear the word at least, then you already know you're into 2027 at this stage. So the debate around the bus is it a year and a half, 2 years away? I don't know the answer to that. And certainly questions.
What does the review look like, Jimmy? You said you're not calling, the Chamber's not calling for the suspension of works in advance of Christmas. And I can understand that that would be a significant call. What does a review look like then?
Review, like we have to review the traffic flow, Greg, and that, you know, those turn off, in my opinion, right, and I'm not an engineer, in our opinion, talking to some board members this morning, you look at those turn offs at St. Connell's and at all the way up there, there's no doubt they're having a huge impact. It's building up right over all those arteries. So we have to figure out something how to get those cars in off the road and let other traffic behind them move
but
on.
Just one more thing, Jimmy, just to frame it right. So that road was designed without a right-hand lane, okay? Or without right-hand turning lanes. And the modelling showed that traffic would be okay. Now, that modelling was crap, because what it actually showed was is that the entire Letterkenny gets choked up. How can we trust that modelling for going up Glencar? How can we trust that modelling on the Remelton Road if that modelling was so off that now, instead of having no right-hand lanes, they're saying, hold on a second, we need right-hand lanes, when people like yourself, the Chamber, were saying getting rid of those lanes would cause problems. So how can we trust this modelling and this plan now when arguably it stumbled at the first hurdle? That's critical to me, I think, as a journalist.
Yeah, it's a question. It's a great question, Greg. It's a question we asked. The modelling, you know, we're told there was drone modelling done, and this is what did that drone modelling, was the drone modelling done between the hours of 8 and 9 a.m., for example, and between the hours of 4:30 and 6 p.m.? That's the question. And if it was, then what did it show? And did it show X amount of cars and that there was no impact behind? That's the big question that we had from the very start. So we've been told the modelling shows everything will be all right. Now we know that St. Connell's turnoff will go back in. I was there the second morning, Greg, myself and Garda Unimod, Sergeant Unimod, stood down there and watched the impact that was happening. You could see very clearly where the impact was at St. Connell's. And we stood there and we asked the question, there has to be a solution here. This was the second morning that the turnoff, at the work had started at St. Connell's. So there was an impact there straight away. Greg, the second turnoff is gone now, so the impact has grown, if you like. So the question we asked, there has to be a solution here. And the review, we hear now that turnoff lane is going back in. The question now is, do the other turnoff lanes have to go back in? Question. That's really
We've been assured reducing the the road outside the Errigal to three lanes. Would be, everybody knows what's going to happen when that happens. Is that also going to be reinstated halfway through the works? Because we're not, if because yeah, those works are happening. Those works are happening 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So actually, it might be finished before we see the consequences of it. You know, there's advantages and disadvantages of overnight works as well.
Yeah, and I think I listened to your conversation with Mayor Brogan yesterday, and what he said. Look, you know, people start calling out names. You know, if we can hold our hands up and say we got something wrong, that's okay. And let's go back and do something differently. There's nobody is going to, you know, and I think that's something we would say too. We've all done things wrong in our life. You put your hand up and say, I got that wrong. Hands up, oh, we'll do this way. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And I think that's something as a town we need to look at and have a discussion about as well, because we are in a really, really busy time now. And look, I think the phrase, I'll go back to it again, we're all for progress, but not at the expense.
What we need to be going into now is a period of a fortnight where we're talking about traffic moving freely, Letterkenny open for business, get in there, get your shopping, have something to eat. In the nighttime economy, get in there, it's safe. Have a few drinks, whatever it might be. That's what we need to be doing over the next 2 weeks, the next fortnight, or else I would really worry what the receipts are going to look like for the business's accountants on January. And as we face into a tough January and February, we have a very narrow window to save Christmas for businesses, I think, personally. And again, you know, that's just my view, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think Anna and Greg, you know when you're living away from someone, you're hearing us on the radio like this, your perceptions be, and absolutely, you're sitting there at 8:30 this morning, 8:45, 9 o'clock, 9:30, you're frustrated, you're texting, you know, you're trying to say, I'm late for work, I'm late for school, my hospital appointment, all that sort of stuff. I think, and then once, you know, after 9:30 or there on, you can see that's free flowing, and that's where you're looking at saying there's a huge problem for us between those hours in the morning and in the evening, for people in getting home as well. So we really have to look at it. It's a huge town, Greg, as we all know. It's got a massive retail offering, and you know, people want to come and shop, but again, their frustrations get active as well. So certainly, you know, we're heading into a busy, busy period.
Right, we'll see what happens in terms of this call for a review. Let's face it, you know, people complain about property tax and all that, and it's justified. I know, I get where people come from in that. But if it wasn't for businesses, the massive employers paying massive rates, massive water charges, etc., we'd be banjaxed as a county, and we have to make sure that we look after and support those businesses, be it shopping in them or be it saying we need to be able to get into shopping them. But for now, Jimmy Stafford, President of Letterkenny Chamber, thank you very much for your time.